to give honor to that. So we're reading out of Romans chapter 4. I encourage you to bring your physical Bible as well as your electronic Bible. And in verse 20, speaking of Abraham, this is what it says. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And the next verse says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, God, that as we open your word, you speak to us, that the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, the guide on the inside, leads and guides us into all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as you're seated, just kind of elbow the person next to you and say, don't go to sleep because God has something to say to you. All right? Amen. And if nobody's sitting next to you, then just believe with us that that seat will be filled. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, several years ago, there was a, this morning I'm going to be starting a new series, still along the lines of Old Testament men of faith, but we're going to be talking specifically about Abraham. And as I was preparing for this today, one of the things that kind of came up in my heart was, how many remember that old song, Father Abraham?
Yep.
And do you remember that? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, Father Abraham. You remember this? Right? So, there you go. Colin's got it. And you turn around, and I mean, and it was the silliest song. And yet at the same time, it reminded us of some things. And I can remember as a 15-year-old young man singing that in a Bible study with a bunch of other teenagers, and the FBI agent would make us do all of the motions. Teenagers. Made us do all of the motions, and we're all like, for real? This is not cool. Why are we doing this? Yeah. And sometimes that's how we would start off, and by the end, the Spirit of God would just fall. And we were getting truth. We were getting truth deposited in our hearts that we truly are connected to Abraham's seed. And that was a truth that came to bear in our hearts. And so we want to talk about the faith of Abraham and how we can learn and grow from his faith. Because he truly is mentioned one who, we just read the verse, who by faith had a relationship with God to the point that he was willing literally to just say, okay, God, where do you want me to go? God didn't even tell him a destination. God just says, I'm going to tell you where to go. I can imagine the day he packed up all of his belongings. He was a pretty wealthy man, and he had a bunch of people with him. He had family, extended family. We know Lot traveled with him, had lots of herd and cattle and all kinds of things. And they were traveling, and Abraham's like, which way do we go? But God told him to leave, and he left. That kind of trust is an amazing trust. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you have faith like a wheelbarrow? Do you have faith like a wheelbarrow? So, I have my little... It's so funny. Pastor Christine did not know that I had the wheelbarrow. It was in the hallway. And she said, is that a wheelbarrow? She never knows what I'm going to do. I don't always tell her ahead of time. She never knows what household item might be brought here. It's just kind of one of those things that God sometimes, he doesn't give it to me sometimes until like right at the last minute. So I'm like, okay, all right, yeah. So as we're talking about Abraham, I came across the coolest story that illustrates the question, Do you have faith like a wheelbarrow? There was a world famous tightrope walker. He strung a rope across Niagara Falls, and he announced he would walk across it blindfolded. There was a massive crowd that gathered to watch, and as he carefully stepped across the rope, the wind roared, the water crashed below, but he made it. The crowd erupted in applause. Then the tightrope walker said, "Do you believe I can do it again?" The crowd shouted, "Yes, we believe." Next, he brought out a wheelbarrow. "Do you believe I can push the wheelbarrow across?" And the crowd cheered, "Yes, we believe." Next, then he pointed at one of the men in the front row who was yelling, "Yes, we believe." And he said this, "Great, hop in the wheelbarrow." The man froze and he said, "No thanks." James chapter 2 tells us, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Now, we many times, because of the people that we associated with, the Jacksons, myself, Brother Adam, you know, his brother is a pastor who went to Rhema Bible College. We are many times classified as somebody who is, "Oh, that's a faith church." What does that mean? That means that we believe that what God's promises are, they're true. We believe that what we speak out of our mouth matters. We believe that God is not finished doing miracles. We believe that the Holy Spirit is still active and alive on planet Earth today. And what's important is that we take God at His word and we press in by faith. In other words, we believe in getting in the wheelbarrow. We believe in trusting Him that much that we get in the wheelbarrow. And now if I were to ask some of you, would you trust me right now to wheel you in this wheelbarrow, down this aisle, out the foyer, and back up this aisle? Do I have any takers in here? Here's my point. My youngest daughter, she just raised her hand and she's like, "I'm in." Why do you think she did that? Because she trusts me. Right? She trusts me. She knows that I'm gonna do my best to look out for her. There's a relationship there. So here's my point about faith. If you want to have faith like a wheelbarrow, then you've got to have the trust that comes with it. And trust comes from knowing that God's not a man who should lie. Mm. Trust comes from knowing that He's proven Himself time and time and time again. And as I read the story of Abraham, I'm astounded at the trust that Abraham had. Abraham literally just trusted God with everything. Everything. To the point that he didn't try to control it himself. Now, that's a lesson for all of us. Because human beings, we like to control stuff, right? We're like, I want to fail safe. You know, I like to do, and it's been years since I've done them, but I happen to like to push myself and do zip lining and things like that. And, you know, but as a human being and an adult who's now over 60, I'm going to be asking, okay, what's the safety here? What is my escape? What's my out, as they say? We're always looking for somehow to put our trust in ourselves rather than God. Now, is it good to have wisdom and double check and make sure? Of course. You want to check with not your head, you want to check with your heart. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Has he ever let you down? That's a question that you should ask yourself when God starts to nudge you to do something. Maybe he's nudging you to go further and deeper with him, to leave something of the world behind. Now, in 1519, and you can put your spin on it, and you may not like, you know, Cortez, the famous explorer, but I will tell you this. Cortez did something that was pretty interesting for the story that I'm talking about today, about Abraham and the trust that he had. Sometimes we need to eliminate the earthly way of thinking and cut off the way back to the world. Do you understand what I mean by that? We're looking for, well, now how much do I have to really give up in order to follow Christ? How much? You know, I really like this part of my life, you know, and I'd like to keep that, but he's kind of dealing with me to get rid of that. How much do we actually give up? Well, Cortez heard the rumblings of those that were with him to explore Mexico. And he heard their rumblings where they were like, hey, that was a hard journey across the Atlantic. We want to go back. We want to go back to Spain. We want to go back to where it's comfortable. We want to go back to where we know and we can control everything. We don't know this new world. And Cortez heard their rumbling. And what he did was pretty amazing. He turned to the men as they got on shore and he said, burn the ships.
Wow.
We're here to stay.
My goodness.
In other words, he cut off any chance of going back to the world that they knew. What about us as Christians? Do we have faith like a wheelbarrow? That we trust God so much that if we fell, he would be there to pick us back up? Do we trust God so much that if we failed and ended up face planting, that he would be able to pick us up, dust us off, help us go again? Do we trust him that much? He's a good God. And he's not wanting to punish you, and he's not wanting to test you to the point that, you know, you're embarrassed. But when we say, I surrender all, I want you to remember Cortez. I want you to remember the tightrope walker who was walking across Niagara Falls, and he offers to the man, do you want to get in? See, it would take amazing faith to get in, would it not? I'll be here to tell you, I wouldn't get in. The man's blindfolded, right? And that, you go down, you're done. The law of gravity still works. And you can sit there and say, well, I just don't believe in the law of gravity. You're still going to fall. You cannot believe in it. You're still going down, right? But if we trust the way Abraham trusted, then that means everything is his. Everything. You lay it. We sang about it. You lay it at the feet of Jesus. Everything. At the feet of Jesus. Everything. We see in the disciples' lives, we see how they, even when they saw Jesus do the miracles, even when they saw him feed the 5,000, they still were holding on to some way back. Some way, we see that in Peter's life especially. We're coming up on the Easter season, right? And, you know, you always hear about, well, Peter denied the Lord. But we also need to hear that Peter was restored. Even though he fell, Jesus still came and restored him. Right? Isn't that good? That's the goodness of God. So people say they believe, but real faith takes faith and action. Right? All right, so Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, let's go there. I do encourage you, like I said earlier, as we go through some of these lessons on men of faith and how we can learn from them, I encourage you to take notes. Get a real Bible. If you don't have one, let somebody know. We can advise you on a really good one that you can use and grow from. It's one thing to go to church. It's another thing to let church get inside of you. And what I mean by that is that we allow the Word of God to come in and change Monday, and change Tuesday, and change Wednesday, and change Thursday, and change my family, and change my marriage, and change my, you get the picture. The Word of God coming on the inside is so important. So you're there in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis, and the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4 is the key right here. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He is just getting started, and he's 75 years old. So next time you are tempted to say, well, that's too late. That bus has passed. Now, maybe, you know, it is too late if you're, you know, like, if you're in your 40s, it might be too late to be in the NFL draft, okay? Just saying. There are some limitations, but when it comes to God's assignment, there are no limitations. You can start where you want to be, and you can say, okay, I'm in. And God will take you right where you're at, and he will take you on a journey, and it's a journey of obedience and action. But in those verses, I want you to see a couple of things. That not only does God give us, not only does he give us assignments many times in our lives, but he also gives us promise. I like to put it this way. God will never be a debtor to a human being. So when you obey him and put him first in something instead of yourself, and that trust, you're getting in the wheelbarrow and you're letting him take you across. He rewards. He always rewards when we trust him. He rewards. In fact, we're going to come back to more of the story of Abraham. I want you to go to Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, New Testament, right? Praise the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Sister Iris, she actually mentioned this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, again, we're here in Hebrews chapter 11. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though through it, being dead, still speaks. Now it goes on. This is called the Hall of Faith. Now skip down to verse 8. This is where Abraham is mentioned. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We as New Testament believers are still waiting for that city. We will see it one day. And if you're following on Wednesday nights on End Times Viewpoint, we're talking about the signs of Jesus Christ coming again soon are ramping up all over. We're seeing signs, and not just in the scripture, we're seeing scripture being fulfilled in our very eyes. And it is exciting. And it's not something to be afraid of. If you know Jesus, we're not afraid that Jesus is coming back. Instead, we are excited he's coming back. Now, I do want him to delay long enough to get all my friends, family, and people who don't know Christ to come in, right? So I'm not looking for him to come. I don't want him to come today, but he could. But I don't want him to, because I still have people that I'm believing for. How about you? Right? So there's still work to be done. But when we look at Abraham's faith, Abraham had just amazing faith. He didn't just agree with God's plan. He stepped into the wheelbarrow of faith, leaving behind his homeland without knowing the destination. Abraham never wavered. We just read that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. He never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith actually grew stronger, and that brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. That speaks of a relationship. The reason why Abigail could say, hey, I trust you, Dad, to run me in the wheelbarrow down that way and around that way. Why? Because she's seen me do silly stuff like that before. Whether it's riding on a luggage cart in the hotel and taking her, you know, down the hallway, even as a teenager, you know, she trusts that, oh yeah, Dad would do that, right? That's a relationship. The kind of relationship God wants with you and me is that same kind of relationship. Now turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. So if we're not willing to get into the wheelbarrow, then what we say we have faith, then in reality, that faith is dead. That's what James says. And that's pretty harsh. Because you're like, Pastor, I don't know if I'd get in that wheelbarrow. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? He's good. He's good all the time that way. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. When we see all of the hall of faith, each one in the hall of faith has just demonstrates their trust in God, their personal relationship with God. You know, our vision at Westchester Family Church is that we would know God. That's the beginning of faith. The beginning of faith is to know him and to be intimately acquainted with him, to take the stuff of earth and be like Cortez and say, I'm burning the ships, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. And years ago, when I was a youth minister at a youth camp, one of my mentors in youth ministry at the time, Dr. Walt Malden, he wasn't a doctor then, now he is. Dr. Walt Malden, he wrote a song, and it was a simple, simple song for teenagers when they were coming to give their life to Christ, when they were coming to say, I'm done with the world, and I'm following Christ. And it was, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take a stand for you, Lord. And all the world will know that I truly love you. I'll be against the things that are wrong and for the things that are right. I'm going to take a stand. I'll take a stand for you. We would sing that song sometimes for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and the altar would fill with kids giving their hearts to Christ, throwing cigarettes down, throwing all kinds of paraphernalia down on the altar and saying, I am not going back. I'm going to be like Cortez. I'm burning the ships. I'm here to stay. I am committed to Christ, and there is no turning back. There is no turning back. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no turning back. See, faith takes a relationship. It takes action. It takes actually getting to know that God is never going to let you down. He's never going to let you down. He is always for you. He's not against you. He's not working behind the scenes saying, why did God do that to me? You know, I work in a secular environment. So occasionally there are people who have some nominal religion. I'll say it that way. And sometimes they'll walk in and say, oh, God must be trying to punish me today. How many of you have ever had people say that to you? Anybody? Am I the only one? I'll tell you, they're like, God punishing me today. Listen, God is out for your good. In fact, Romans chapter 2 says it's the goodness and the kindness of God that causes a man to change his mind and to repent. When you understand the goodness of God, that he gave you his very best in Jesus, it is easy to say, God, I'm getting in the wheelbarrow and you can drive. I trust you to take me across Niagara Falls, to take me wherever you want me to go. I trust you. I trust you. When you have that kind of trust, then the action of letting go, and as the saying, and it sounds trite, letting go and letting God, it is truly saying, I am going to lean so far on God that if he moves, I'll fall. And I know even if I fall, he'll pick me back up. That's the faith of Abraham, because Abraham, even when he, and we'll find out as we go deeper into his story, we will find out, pardon me, we will find out that he obeyed immediately. We will find out that he believed that God could raise the dead. And so when he was called upon to offer his son, Isaac, he believed that God could even raise him from the dead. Sometimes we in our Western educated mindset go, that would be awful. Why would God ask him to sacrifice his son? That's horrible. And sometimes I've heard people look at it from that angle, and I think, well, you clearly didn't read the rest of the story. That God was not asking Abraham that so that he could prove to himself, oh, I've got the right guy to build a nation on. No, God knew what was in Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham to see what was in Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham to see. God already knew what was in his heart. He wanted Abraham to see the trust that had already been built. He wanted Abraham to see that. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And see, God knew he did. That's why God asked him to do it. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. When we say, okay, God, I get it. So one of the first things that we see in Abraham's life, and I'm just going to give you these points. Faith begins with a relationship with a living God. And as we go on in Abraham's story, Genesis chapter 15 shows us how that relationship developed over time. That relationship developed to the point that God actually, at one point in Genesis chapter 15, reminds Abraham again. He reminds him and gives Abraham a vision. And he says to him in verse 1 of chapter 15, he said, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, indeed one born in my house, indeed one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one is not your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5, and then he brought him outside. This is what I like when I see this. I know that Abram lived in tents. And sometimes God has to show you something in a relationship. And you can see there's a conversation here. There's a conversation going on. And Abram is saying, God, I don't have an heir. And you're giving me this great big promise. And what's this for? I don't even have my own son. And God says, God answers it. You know, God can handle your conversation. We learned that with Gideon, right? That God can handle your doubts. He can handle your unbelief as long as you stay connected to him. When you stay connected to him, you stay in conversation with him. It is a relationship that is a living, active, vibrant relationship. And so Abram is giving God his end of the situation, and God answers it right away. But I love what verse 5 says. Sometimes God has to take you out of your comfort zone and get you to see something. Sometimes God will have you do something that's uncomfortable. Getting in a wheelbarrow is uncomfortable. Going across Niagara Falls, uncomfortable. First time I ever did a zip line, uncomfortable. There's still one activity that's in the zip line that I have trouble with. It's called the backwards fall. You're hooked up. You see a cable about that yay thick. You've got a helmet on. You've got double harnesses, you've got two safeties, and the young kid who's running the thing tells you, okay, for extra points, Pastor Doug, go out on the edge, cross your arms, and just fall back and lean into it. And you see this.
Nivy did it,
yeah. You see this 300-foot arc of a cable going across a lake. Thank God if you did fall, you'd be in the water. I don't know if I'd want to swim in that water, but, you know, it's just one of those things that I still have trouble with, that you just literally lean back and then you leave your arms out like this. Now, I've almost done it. And I have to tell you, when I've done it, it feels really good. But isn't that like God? That when we do things that we totally trust, and at first, it's like, I don't know if I really trust you, but okay. And then we do it. I'm so glad he is patient with us. He's patient with me. He's patient with you. And God sometimes takes you out of your comfort zone. I look at the tents that Abram lived in. That was his comfort. And God uses natural things to get our attention. And he says this, verse 5, he took him and brought him outside. Brought him out of what he knew. Out of where his comfort was. And look what he did. He says, look now toward the heaven, count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, And he, meaning God, accounted it to him for righteousness. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Hallelujah. God reiterates his promise. And when you have a relationship that is deep with God, he will talk to you. He will give you the answers you are wanting. As you're sitting in the wheelbarrow, you can just look, reach up. God, you think it's going to be all right doing this? And he'll give you assurance by his word and by his spirit. So faith begins with a relationship by God. And number two that we're going to learn from Abram is faith requires obedience without a full understanding. Say that. Say faith requires obedience without a full understanding. Ouch. Think about that just for a second. It means you can't check the safety. God doesn't have a plan B when he asks you to do something. He doesn't have a plan B. He wants you to do it, right? So faith requires obedience. We saw that Abram obeyed and immediately, even though he didn't have all the details. When I first became a Christian, I remember knowing and feeling God's tug that he had called me. And I remember saying to him, well, God, why don't you just tell me everything? Tell me what my life's going to be like. And I didn't hear anything. So I went to one of my mentors and I said, I'm asking God, I know that I'm called, but I don't know exactly what that looks like. And I'll never forget, Lee Kaiser, the FBI agent turned minister. He looked at me and he said, if he told you everything, you would try to help him and you would mess it up. So just take it one day at a time, Doug. One day at a time. One phase at a time. One assignment at a time. One step at a time. And God will unfold the rest. So faith requires obedience without a full understanding. And number three, faith trusts in God's promises. All through Abraham's beginning of his relationship with God, God would reiterate his promise. He would reiterate what he was planning to do. Little by little, step by step, little by little, and God would remind him. And when he would get his eyes a little bit off, God would remind him again. And God even had to deal with Abraham trying to help God. And God, he is such a merciful God and such a good God. When we do try to help him, he's so merciful. He's so good. He will get you back on track. And if you started to fall out of the wheelbarrow, he's got you again. And you're going right back. Because the trust, you know that he's not a man that he should lie. So there were three things I wanted to begin this section on Old Testament men of faith. That number one, faith begins with a relationship with the living God. Number two, that faith requires obedience without a full understanding. And number three, faith trusts in God's promises. So you can have faith like a wheelbarrow, and you can trust him, and I believe you are. I believe you are. The mere fact that you're here is that you're feeding your faith, and you're getting to know God even better. Not because of what I say, but because of what the Spirit of God is dealing with you and helping you to grow in the things of God. And the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing the word of God, hearing it over and over and over again. And what happens is faith begins to arise. We see that in Abram's life, that each step that he took, his faith got stronger. Oh, he still stumbled along the way. So will you. And so have you. But aren't you glad that he's always there to help you get back on and get back in the wheelbarrow and say, okay, God, you're driving, not me. I don't understand it all. I'm just going to trust in your promise because that was what you said. Yeah. Going back to that Romans passage as we close, it says in Romans 4 in verse 20, it says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. I'm actually reading out of another translation just to share some more light with you. It says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Hallelujah. And as New Testament believers, we can believe what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. He said, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change our very lives, our very circumstances, our very destiny. As we trust you in every little thing, as we get into the wheelbarrow of life's journey, and we trust you to take us over ravines and across mountains, we know that you're not going to dump us out. You're not going to hurt us. You're not going to harm us. But God, you're going to help us. You're going to help us to see your victory, to see your goodness, and to trust you even more. So, Father, I thank you that today we know that our relationship with you is one of the most important things to have a strong faith. We know that our obedience to what you tell us is so important to see faith grow, because as we are obedient, you're able to give us more. And Father, we know that your promises are true and that you never lie. And so we trust your word. We trust you're a good God who loves us and has only our best in mind for us. So thank you, Father God, for the lessons that we learned today from Abraham. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you'll help each one of us apply this to our life. As we wake up tomorrow, as we go home tonight, as we drive along the road, how can we trust you in every area of our life? We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you've been away from God, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ into your life. And so if that's you, you either want to be born again and receive Christ in your life. I'm not asking about church membership. I'm talking about a relationship. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand while everybody's head's bowed and every eye is closed and say, that's me. I'm coming back to Christ, or I'm coming to Christ for the first time. If that's you, just raise up your hand in this place. Is there anybody? I'm just scanning the congregation right now. Just scanning the congregation. Perhaps you're watching online and you want to know, how do I start this relationship with God? It's real simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we believe in our heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, and you receive his forgiveness by faith and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. We call it being born again. We call it having a relationship with Christ, to be saved. And so if that's you, you want to do that, we're just going to all pray a simple prayer. And if you're watching online, I want you just to say it out loud together, as we say it together, so that it would encourage you. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness by faith right now. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. from this day forward. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer online, we want to know about it so we can send you some things to help you in your journey. If you're not anywhere near Mount Kisco, we'd love to help you find a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God and helps you grow in the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you need special prayer or extra prayer for anything, I'm going to be available down front today. We will be having our ukulele rehearsal immediately following the service today. But I want to just let you know that if you need ministry, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to experience God's power in a greater dimension, I want to be able to pray with you and help you in that so that we can see God literally transform your life. That's our goal, that you would know God, you would find freedom, you would discover purpose in God, and you would make a difference. That's our heart for you. However we can help in those arenas, that's what we want to do. So let's stand to our feet right now and let's speak over our lives the what we call our sending out verse. And as almost like a prayer, what we're doing is we're speaking God's word and we're declaring it over our lives. Let's say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.